take fun seriously. So honestly, be like, hey, we actually have to do this because we'll think this is something we'll do later when we have money, when we have time, when the kids are grown. And we all know we never have more time.
Yes.
We really never have more money.
Yep.
And then the kids turn into grandkids. So it's like these things will not happen. They're an illusion. So a great question to ask is like, when was the last time we had fun together?
Welcome to Family Life Today, where we want to help you pursue the relationships that matter most. I'm Ann Wilson.
And I'm Dave Wilson, and you can find us at familylifetoday.com. This is Family Life Today.
It's been really fun talking to Arlene Pelicane about her new book, Making Marriage Easier.
And she makes you laugh.
Yes.
I've been smiling the whole time.
My cheeks, my jaw hurts from laughing. I think I love being with Arlene.
I mean, a long way to go, don't we?
We could keep going too, because there's even more things. But the second one is what? Give thanks?
What's that look like? Every day.
Every day.
So instead of being like, oh, I'm going to look for all the deficiencies, say no, I'm going to thank God. My husband, one week he wrote down each day, like one thing for each day. And then he gave it to me and he showed me this list. You know, Monday, you take Lucy to school and you're cheerful when you do that. Tuesday, when I come home, you have dinner waiting for me. And he just had written down these little things that he had noticed.
The neurological pathways that are now formed in the brain, if you're constantly seeing the negative, you're creating neurological pathways of going down this negative route so that all you see is the negative. But if you say something, and I'll say this too, it's an act of your will to be able to look for something. You're doing it intentionally, because here's what I would have thought before. I should feel so good about him and then I can say something. No, you're looking for the greatness. You see the greatness, and whether you feel like it or not, you say it or write it or you text it. And then you start looking, like, I'm going to start looking. What did he do right today? That changes a lot.
And I tell you, for me, what I'm hearing is say it out loud.
Yes.
Because I have many times thought it and never spoken
and
it.
Then
and
your
spouse has no idea
that you've been thinking these really great things about her.
Yeah. I mean, I thought it this weekend, laying in that tent, you know, on a cot with this, you know, a mattress.
And
we
there
had
were
to blow
these
up.
Huge beetles in the tent.
Oh no!
Yes.
Inside.
Inside.
Oh yeah. We don't know what we're doing, so we leave the flap open and we're like, oh
no.
Yeah, we need to zip that thing up.
No.
And it was raining and it was soggy and wet, and you know, Ann fell in the mud when she's going to the bathroom in the middle of the night
goodness.
In the middle of the woods. Anyway, and I remember thinking, I have the most amazing wife that would even do this with me.
Wait, what? Did you think that?
That's why I'm saying it right now. It's like, did I say it? She didn't even know.
What?
I literally thought to them, like, there are a lot of women that would say, I'm not doing this thing. You want to speak at a marriage retreat? You go ahead. I'm not doing it. And even the leader, the pastor, said, hey, there's a house on the grounds. You guys can stay in there. But, you know, we'd really like you to be with the couples. She could have said, we're staying in there. Because I did drive by that house, and I thought, that'd be nice to have that toilet.
Can you,
you know,
imagine?
Running water, that'd be nice.
Instead of going to the bathroom outside, you
could have been
in there.
I'm just thinking, thank you. You're an amazing teammate to do that. And it was a great weekend, but man, it was hard.
Thanks for saying thanks.
Well, think about that. What kind of idiot doesn't say out loud, thank you, honey? And I'm thinking, there's husbands listening, or wives going, yeah, my husband never does. Say it tonight.
You be the one.
Write it down. I mean, Ann shared on stage, and it's in her book, about our friend Michelle, who did what you said, Arlene. She started writing down, because she was critical of Rob.
Yeah.
And
many
words
times.
Aren't quite as easy for everyone.
Yes.
So she just started writing down over, you know, not just every day, but when she saw something and she was thankful for, she gave it to him on his birthday.
She's been doing it for years.
And it was like a journal, and she looks over and he's weeping. Because those words of gratefulness were so powerful. I think she does it every year.
She just weeps.
Your husband, your wife will weep. I mean, maybe not weep, but I mean, it'll be that powerful.
Yes.
Because we often are ungrateful when we could be grateful.
Yes. When you talk about, but I'm not happy, the person reading this is thinking, but I'm not happy. I'm giving thanks. You want me to give thanks every day? I'm not happy. And you kind of hit that of you can choose that. Was there anything else that you've learned about that?
I think when we're shooting for the happy, like, I want to be happy. This is not making me happy. It's like the rule. Everything you're going through, you're like, let me just gauge, did that make me happy? Right? You're not going to be happy. You're just searching for it. And it really, that joy, happiness, gladness, it comes really from giving, from serving, from being thankful.
That's decision number three.
That's decision number three, is to serve your spouse. It is like when we're just chasing that happiness, I think it eludes us. And when we realize that, wait, this happiness will come when I do the right thing. Like the feeling comes after the behavior.
That is so contrary to the culture.
Yeah. We talked in the earlier broadcast about humility. And the Bible tells us to clothe ourselves with humility, right? We put it on. It's not natural.
Oh,
we walk around
thought.
Without it, you know? So in the same way, it's like we have to put on this good stuff that's not natural. And that joy comes. That joy comes because when you are thankful for your spouse, then it's very hard to feel thankful and unhappy, right? They don't coexist. So if you need, like, I wish I was more happy, I wish I was more happy, then it's like, you know what? It's that heart of contentment. I don't need more stuff. Because you get the stuff, you get the house, you get the car, you get the new cool clothes, and it's fun for like a day, you know, maybe a few days if it's a house, something big. But then after a while, you're used to it. And it's like, well, that didn't do anything.
Yes. Yeah. I think what you're saying too, it's a surrender. It's a re-surrender every day of, Lord, I give my life to you. I'm yours. My joy, my happiness, my life comes from you.
From you.
Now help me to pour out what you've poured into me.
And not to expect your spouse to make you happy. Like you're not making me happy. Because my goodness, if it was my responsibility to make James happy, it's like, wait, you're putting all your happiness on me?
Yeah.
Like I have to act like that? It's like, I don't want that responsibility. So why would we give that responsibility to someone else? So remember, it's God. It's God that's going to give you joy, and his presence is fullness of joy.
And how many times have people said, like, we're getting divorced, we're just not happy
we're
anymore.
Just not happy. Yeah.
Welcome to the club.
Right, sure.
I mean, it's a choice.
Yes.
Yeah.
So how do you get out of a selfish perspective, which is you need to serve me more.
Yes.
To a selfless perspective, which is I want to lay down my life for her. I want to lay down my life for him. I want to do this. You say serve.
Yes.
How do I shift that mindset? Because it's a mindset to get there.
It may take something bad to happen, like something bad to wake you up to be like, oh my word, this is not all about me. Yeah. Like I need to serve. Like I need to serve my family. Like I need to do something. But hopefully you don't have to wait for that. A lot of times we have to wait for this bad thing, just the shoe falls off and you have to do something. So that's when we change. But instead to realize, wait a minute, I am a selfish person. And we always think the other person is a selfish person. My husband is so selfish. But, you know, my husband, James, he had said the other day, I had said something, oh, well, you're so selfish. You want to do the things you want to do. And then he's like, because like we go on ski trips because he and the kids love to ski. And I'm terrified of skiing. Like I've done the thing so I can do the greens and they're black diamond, right? So in my mind, I'll think you're so selfish. Like we always have to vacation where you want a vacation. And it took me a while, and that was service, to realize this is a blessing that my kids and James can make these memories, that I can sit in a cabin and read a book like this in the snow. Like this is beautiful and this is a blessing. But it was at first, you're so selfish.
Yeah.
You want to do these things.
And you could have thought, right? I want to be at the beach.
Yeah, I want to do something different. And then he will say, you know, well, you're selfish too. And you think, I'm not selfish. But then you realize, of course I am. I want a vacation where I want a vacation. Like we're all selfish.
Yes.
Like we all want what we want. And to realize, oh my goodness, I can serve you. And service for a Christian is a promotion, right? For the unbelieving world, it's like, you don't want to be a servant, have people walk all over you. You're going to lose your voice. You're going to lose your identity. You're going to lose who you are because you're serving that other person. Jesus says, I've come, right? As a servant. Like, I mean, my goodness, if Jesus can do it. And then in the Old Testament, David, Moses, Joshua, they're called servants of God, my servant.
Yeah.
It's like the higher, closer you are to God, the more you're a servant. And where else can you learn to serve? What better place? It's easy to serve someone 1 hour, let's say at church, and please do that.
Yeah.
You know, so that you can do that and then you can go home. But when you serve at home, you serve your spouse, man, that's 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, nonstop.
Nobody
sees it. And that's why that's the place to say, okay, instead of saying, what have you done for me lately? God. You asked, how does that, God, it's a change of heart. God, change my heart.
Yes.
Change my heart that I would wake up and say, how can I serve you today? And you know what? You might not feel it, but just ask the question, hey, is there anything I can do for you today? And just by asking the question, you're starting to act in a way that is pleasing to God, and the feelings will follow.
I mean, it's such a paradox, because it feels like our whole life, and we're even told this, pursue the title.
Yes.
You know, that's your goal. Get the title, get the corner office, get the house, get the stuff. That's the American dream. Go for it.
Yeah.
And Jesus said, pursue putting a towel over your arm and washing people's feet. And Jesus had the title, the greatest title ever known to man, the King of the universe. And he washed these dirty disciples' feet. And yeah, and that's what he calls us to in marriage. That's not easy.
That is
a selfless act.
And when you said that, you know, I think of the person listening who is in leadership in their job, and that's good, and that's blessed.
Right.
But when you come home, home is the opportunity to put the towel and to wash the feet. That's where you can show that.
And I'm telling you, when a spouse serves you, that's humbling in a way. Like, it makes you want to serve back.
Yes.
It changes your heart. It's such a lowly position.
We are wired for reciprocity, right? If your neighbor comes and brings you a little cake, then you're like, oh, next time I got to bring the neighbor a cake now, because I owe that neighbor a cake. Like, we are kind of built that way. So in marriage, if you're married to a good and decent person, they're going to reciprocate over time that service.
I have to go back because I feel like we missed this little part. I have to go to it. It's what you call cute girl and happy boy. And you talk about just being early engaged and you're filling out your
wedding.
Those were
like our little pet names, and we engraved them on our mixer that I never use. I'm not good in the kitchen.
But go back to that, because you start out talking about just like your wedding registry.
Yes.
And how your expectations were different from one another.
Men
in marriage,
and
that's
women
so true.
Are different.
Yes.
And then your personalities will be different. Everything's different. And when you're engaged, you're like, this is awesome. It's so much fun. And then when you're married for a while, you're like, this person is driving me crazy.
Yes.
So we were in two different cities engaged because of our jobs. And so I told James, hey, we don't want to spend, we were spending one weekend a month like visiting one another. And we didn't want to spend all that precious time just in a store doing registry. So I told him, why don't you go to this like superstore kind of place and just scan whatever you want for our house. He's like, okay. So I go back and I go to the superstore and I put in my name. I'm so excited, right? I have a name in a wedding registry. I'm typing in my name. This is amazing. And the little sheets get printed out and I'm reading. And I'm
have
like,
you already filled out your part of
I've
it?
Done my, but I went to the nice department store and I sent him to like the superstore kind of place. So I had done like the high end stuff, right? And then I said, oh yeah, you get our stuff. So I'm looking and it's like a tent and a lantern and like, and I'm like, why in the world would we need this? Like, what in the world? And then I keep reading and I'm like, pharmaceuticals. And it says Tylenol, Advil, Tums. I'm like, wait, what? And then there was bug spray, ant spray, wasp spray, mouse trap. I was like, there must be a mistake. So I'm reading, and honestly, maybe we were the only registry with those titles, right? Pesticides, and we have like things listed. So I am like freaking out. Like,
were you embarrassed? Like,
I was so.
Could people see
I was,
that
like,
already publicly?
So embarrassed. Like, I think he had just scanned it. We didn't have cell phones back then, so I couldn't just call him right then. So I went home, I dialed up the phone, and I said, that's so funny. You are doing a practical joke for your groomsmen, because that's the only—
You didn't say that.
Yes, because that's the only explanation I could think of. So I'm like, that's really funny. You put all those items so they would laugh. That is awesome. That's hilarious. Total quiet. And he's like, what? It's not a joke. And I was like, how could this not be a joke? And he said, you told me I could put things that I want for my house. He's like, I don't want a dish. I don't want, like, candles. I want
a camping stove
that I really will use in my house. Those things are expensive, and I want them in my house. And I could not believe, Anne, that I was the one having to defend that there was, like, bug spray on my wedding registry. I just could not barely even believe
Tom's
it.
Anti-diarrheal.
So I was, I was like, word picture, because I heard in counseling men like word pictures.
Oh, yeah.
So I said, imagine, dear, you're going to the queen, and she unwraps your beautifully wrapped present, and there's Windex inside. I said, sweetheart, people do not give these kinds of presents at weddings. They just don't do it. They'll give us cash, babe, and then we can buy these kinds of items, okay? So we negotiated, and all of the weird stuff, the pharmaceuticals, et cetera, and pesticides came off. We kept all the tent stuff because at that point, the tent stuff looked really good to me.
Good idea. Yeah.
That's awesome. That is great. And that was my first taste that, like, wow, we're really different. On our wedding invitations, you know how people write really pretty calligraphy?
Yes.
His sister, he calls her Gizzard Gank. I have no idea why. And so her invitation said Gizzard Gank. But you know what? It's decision number four. Take fun seriously. Like, turn all the things that are silly into really fun things. You know? You might as well.
This is huge. Like, I think this is really important because we don't do that after we've been married a while. Life is hard.
Jobs are hard.
Kids are hard. People can think there's not much to laugh about. But you have to intentionally have fun because it doesn't come naturally all the time when you're in the middle of high-pressured, hard things. We're having aging parents or we're having babies. There's things that are just really hard. How have you and James? I'm telling you, you need to bring James back the next time.
I want to meet this guy.
Yes, you could grill him. Please do.
No, Dave would totally love him.
Oh, he's my guy.
He's your guy.
But, I mean, even as you share the story, you could have responded like, I'm not sure. This is before you're married. I'm learning things about him that I don't like. He's so different, and you're laughing about it. You know what I mean?
Now,
yeah.
And some couples...
Maybe that's why James picked me. It's like she thinks it's funny.
But you know what, Dave? Because we just did that conference, I had a lot of women say to me, a lot of wives say, my husband doesn't ever tell me the truth. He avoids talking about things that could hurt me because he knows I'll get upset. We did a broadcast of last month, I think, and Dave said, you know, I was looking across the table at you as we're recording, and I'm realizing your hair is, like, totally messed up. And I'm like, you didn't say anything? He goes, should I have? Like, yes.
I don't care about my hair, so why would you care about yours?
But I think Dave is one that would tend to not say it.
Yeah.
And I think there's a lot of men that could tend to lean that way.
Yes, because my husband is a sayer.
Yes.
It's very easy. It's hard for him not to say things.
I'm like that.
So if you're a husband or a wife and it's very hard for you to say things, then the act of service is saying.
Okay.
So how do you choose fun?
Take fun seriously. Hmm. So honestly, be like, hey, we actually have to do this because we'll think this is something we'll do later when we have money, when we have time, when the kids are grown. And we all know we never have more time.
Yes.
We really never have more money.
Yep.
And then the kids turn into grandkids. So it's like these things will not happen. They're an illusion. So a great question to ask is like, when was the last time we had fun together? Right?
And if it's
really like, wow, we have no answer, like last Christmas, you know, so then you know, okay, we got to do this. So there is a list of activities in making marriage easier. And I suggest you look through this list, circle the ones that you could like. So your favorites, of course, but just things you could do. And then try to find things in common that you can do together. So believe it or not, we have picked up ballroom dancing, which was my husband's idea because he always thought it would be neat to be able to do.
Everybody talks about this. Is
because
it really
we have
good?
It on the Love Like You Mean It cruise
it's
and people
so
take
fun.
Lessons. They
it's
love
so
it.
It's so fun. It's crazy. So we started
we got to do this.
I think you should do it. We started 2.5 years ago in our city. There is like, it's a big rec center kind of place and they do lessons for $8. And so we took lessons. And then when you were there, like when we got there, there were all these, you know, 60 and up, you know, people, and they're all super good dancers.
Really?
Yes. So we get out there and we look obviously like a big neon sign, like, help us, help us, help us. So it's been so cute because these people have been trying to teach us and help us. And literally, we just went last Friday, and now we're at the point where it's actually, I literally said to James, my goodness, it's actually fun now. Because at first, you feel stupid.
Yeah.
You don't know what you're doing.
I would be embarrassed and humiliated.
You're embarrassed. All these things. But if you stick with it, then it's like, oh my word, this is so fun. Like, we're waltzing. Like, it's like a dream. Like, you're waltzing around this room to music with your spouse. Like, it's really fun. So we figure dancing, because as we get older, you can still do it. So it's a way to move your body. It's good for your mind, because you have to remember, especially for the man, because the man has to lead. So he has to think of all the steps. And then it's social. It puts you with people. So we're realizing, like, that's a good activity going into, you know, we're in our 50s, so that's a good activity to go into in the decades ahead.
It's like pickleball.
But it is humility. You're right, because you feel stupid for a long time.
Right.
So sometimes when you do that fun activity, it's fun for one person, like skiing, fun for my husband, for me, so not fun, so embarrassing. Like, I fall on the ground and I'm like, help me up. And he's like, you have to learn how to get up yourself. Right? It was miserable. Miserable, right? So sometimes you'll try something and it won't work.
And sometimes,
but sometimes you try something and it does work.
You guys
started something and neither one of you were that great at it.
Exactly.
Like, I'm looking at
That was good.
Kickboxing,
yeah.
Kayaking. There's so many things. You have an entire page of just ideas.
Alphabetical order.
Yes.
Yeah.
Honey, we should go through these and pick some new ones. Roller skating and rollerblading, rowing. This would be fun. Because, like, Dave plays golf, but for me to play golf with him, I feel like I'm so bad, I'm just going to frustrate you.
Yeah.
And so I think it's kind of fun to pick something that...
And it doesn't frustrate me. It's fun. And she got pretty good pretty fast.
And I'm frustrated because
she's
not
frustrated.
Very
good. She wants to be...
Isn't that interesting? So then if you know he's not frustrated, then you'd be like, okay, then I can be, like, not as great, and it's fine.
Yes.
He likes it.
Now, if she's my pickleball partner, she better be pretty good. And she is. She's really good. In fact, listeners, you want to take us on?
No. Nope.
Let's have a family life pickleball marriage retreat.
Wouldn't that would be amazing?
Work on our marriages at night, play pickleball during the day. I just came up with
that would actually
idea.
Work.
I know. Hey, let me ask you one last question. Do you and James pray together?
We do pray together.
I know you eat together.
Yeah.
What does prayer look like?
Thank you for asking that. We do pray together at night before we go to bed. But I will say, it's not like this huge time. So maybe this comforts you that I, the marriage author expert, that we're praying and it's like a few lines before bed.
Yeah,
and
that's true.
That honestly is it.
Super simple.
Yeah.
I think sometimes as couples, we make it complicated,
yeah.
you know, to pray together, and it's just simple.
Yes.
So we're going to offer our, I was going to say listeners, but we have people watching a way to pray with your spouse. We're going to put 5 prayers for you on a website that you can go to, and that way you have a sample prayer. You don't have to do that, but you could.
Yeah.
And it's just familylife.com/marriageprayers. Familylife.com/marriageprayers. And it might be a way to sort of jumpstart praying with your spouse, because it's something we do as well. And sometimes Ann just prays. Sometimes I just pray.
Yeah.
Sometimes we pray together. Sometimes it's epic on our knees.
Yeah.
Sometimes we're half asleep and we're falling asleep.
Yeah.
But that bonding daily is literally life-changing, I think.
One of the things that I've loved, too, about your book, Arlene, is just at the end of every I like that the chapters are short.
Yes. We want to make it easy.
People are going to love that. But you have a prayer.
And the title of each chapter is
funny.
Brings it. Rent a truck. What? Rent a truck. Yeah.
You have life lessons learned. And then you have, like, one would say, if you like it, I'll try it. Make it easier. Seek to serve your spouse, not the other way around. So little practical things. And then questions to ask your spouse. What can I do this week to make your life easier? And then you have the prayer. I really like the practicality of it. It's something that people could go through as a couple that would be super, like, you could do that as a devotional.
Yeah.
One chapter a night even. And then ask a question and say the prayer. It'd be a great little kind of pick-me-up.
It's a good way to break the ice.
It is.
Because it's kind of like, oh, look, if they're talking about it, we can talk about it too.
Right.
It makes it not strange to talk about these things.
I think this is so good.
Next time you come back, You got to bring James.
Yes, I would
bring
love it.
James.
I would love maybe it. You can camp out there, you know, in the
exactly,
back.
Exactly, in the dirt.
So again, the name of Arlene's book is Making Marriage Easier. You can get it in our show notes. There'll be a link there for you to go buy it.
Thanks, Arlene. This was so good.
It was so much fun to be here.
Family Life Today is a donor-supported production of Family Life, a crew ministry, helping you pursue the relationships that matter most.